www.bibleclub.com.
If you want to just follow along, or if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. So, Luke 1, 26 through 38, it says this: In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, which means engaged in today's language, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And I got to pause right here. You know, I think I'd be a little more concerned or a little bit more afraid of and troubled at the fact that there was an angel speaking to me. Not just what he said, but the fact that there is actually an angel there that appeared to me and talking to me. And so the angel said to her, he said, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? Well, there's a smart girl, right? I mean, I can totally understand her skepticism. I mean, so what if what you're saying is true? Clue me in on this, okay? I mean, how's it going to happen, right? It's not every day that an angel comes along and tells you that you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, right? So I would have asked probably that same question. And the angel answered her in verse 35, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. That's quite a quite a scene. And I'm trying to wrap my head around imagining all that going on. And, you know, the angel actress that we saw in the video, as she was preparing for the nativity scene, she modeled some wonderfully curious questions about the Christmas story that we do not normally consider during Advent, you know? I mean, how did Mary share the news of her pregnancy with her parents? I mean, imagine if your daughter came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think, okay? It's not with my fiance, it was God, okay? And then, after that, she had to tell Joseph, right? I mean, that would have been worse, her own fiance, to tell him that you were pregnant. I mean, if I was Joseph, I probably would have thought her cheese slid off her cracker a little bit, you know? I mean, seriously, it's just so out there. But it just was an incredible how it all played out. You know, and then you had the whole entire community of Galilee, you know, the rest of the people that were, had witnessed her. All of a sudden, this teenage girl all of a sudden was pregnant, and I'm sure that was quite a challenge in and of itself. And the angel told her not to be afraid, because she had found favor with God. And one thing I've found is this, is finding favor with God can be quite challenging. And oftentimes, finding favor with God lends you not to find favor with those around you, okay? A lot of times those people that you associate with and you tell them this news, they might end up thinking you're a little nuts, and other people around you. So, but he chose Mary as the mother of his son, not only because she could be trusted with such a task, but also because of the way Mary must have loved God with all her heart. And she loved her God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. God chose her to be loving mother of Jesus, even though it was, in all accounts, an unbelievable message that was conveyed to her by the angel Gabriel. And one of the observations that we can see is that the wonder of Christmas is expressed through the fact that God made the first move. Okay, God came and made the first move. God chooses us just like he chose Mary. And why? Because he loves us. It was God's love for his creation that compelled him to make the first move. And the most well-known verse in all the New Testament is this, and we don't even need to put this one on the screen. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he gave us Jesus. Why? Because he loved us. And because he loves us, John also wrote in 1 John 4:9, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son in the world so that we might live through him. By sending Jesus, God made the first move. It was a pretty extreme move to send Jesus in the form of a baby to be born. And, you know, it's just, you'd wonder, why did he have to do that, you know? But he did do it, and I think the main reason why he did that is because he loved us, and he wanted for Christ to be able to experience all the things that we have to experience in our lives. The prophecies called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the God who loves us is the God who came to be with us. The God who loves us is the God who came to be with us. It's really hard to have a loving relationship with someone we don't know or we don't spend any time with. It is especially difficult when someone lives far away. But today it's a lot easier now, right? We have cell phones, we have computers, we can FaceTime with somebody, we can converse, we can text, we can do all that stuff. But there was a time, and a couple of you probably won't remember this, when we didn't have those things, okay? Pam and I were dating, and we had just gotten engaged, and Pam had already decided to work up in Door County for the summer. And I was here in Oshkosh, and she was up in Door County. And so that made it really challenging. We spent, you know, a lot of time on the phone talking to one another. We even wrote letters, you know, that you had to mail, and then they'd arrive, and then you'd open them up and go, oh, look at it. Not like a text where you go, oh, okay, there. So, I mean, we had written letters. I mean, I don't know how many miles I put on up there. I had it timed pretty good at how fast I could get up there, you know. After I got done with work, I would take off and go, you know, cruise up there to Door County and spend the weekend up there, you know, together. And those times are really, really precious. But long-distance relationships, they're the worst, aren't they? And we are at his most precious, we are his most precious creation. And he wants a love relationship with each and every one of us. And that couldn't happen from a distance. Because of man's sin, we were separated from God. He came near us to be with us because that was the only way our relationship could be what he wanted and what he hoped for it to be. So what does he want for us? Well, for starters, and this will be our first point if you want to bring that up, the first point is God wants us to love him back, okay? And that's only possible because he made the first move and showed his love towards us, okay? And John, in chapter 4, verse 19, it says this. It says, we love because he first loved us. And love relationships, they work best when it's mutual, don't they? You know, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes one person, you know, loves another person, but that person doesn't want to have anything to do with the other person. And we've sometimes see that play out, you know. But God, he really, he had a desire for us that no matter how hard we try, he's not going to force the issue with us, you know. He loves us either way, but his ultimate desire is for us to love him back. And there's no verse that directly says this, but we kind of see this in Matthew 23. Jesus is calling out the spiritual desolation in Jerusalem, okay? And that's a city that he personally wept over. Jerusalem was like his children, his city. And in Matthew 23:37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under his wings, and you were not willing. See, God longed for them to come under his care and his provision, but they wouldn't have it. They didn't want anything to do with God, and he was not going to force that issue upon him. So God wants us to love him back. That's the first point, and he won't force the issue, okay? The second point is this. God wants us to talk to him, okay? In a relationship, one of the most natural and normal ways that two beings love each other is by cultivating that relationship, by communicating with each other. And part of the nature and character of God is that he longs to communicate with those he loves. The infinite God wants to hear from the finite creation of humanity. And that's pretty incredible. And if we are, as humans, are to have an authentic, growing relationship with God, if and if we must be able to just to talk to him, to speak with him, to ask questions, and to listen to him. And that's how relationships are. I mean, that's how any relationship starts. It's by just spending time speaking, asking questions, and getting to know the other person. The prophet Jeremiah records from God about this part of God's nature and character in his letter. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. See, God desires to communicate with him. So take the time, call on him with your questions and curiosities through daily prayer, okay? This is where our love is bound to grow as we ask and wait for his response. When we feel uncertain, perplexed, afraid, annoyed, defeated, discouraged, and unsure about the next steps we have to take in life, we are invited as his creation to call on him as our creator. See, God wants to hear from us. He wants us to share with him in prayer whatever the questions, curiosities, and things are that occupy our lives. He is approachable and intimately concerned with connecting with us as ones whom he loves that have been created in his image. God wants us to reach out, to connect, convey, and wait to hear from him. We see the same part of God's nature and character being offered in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7:7-8, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." And there's three verbs that Jesus articulates there. It's ask, seek, and knock. And if you didn't notice, they actually form the acronym ASK. Ask, seek, knock. And these are verbs that talk about being intentional. They lead to relational engagement. So in order to have a conversation, you need to kind of follow some of these things that he's laid out. The wonder of Christmas is about an intentional first move of love by God. See, he reached out in the hope of that relational engagement among his people. He came to rescue them from the thrones of sin. These verbs are very important tense in the original language. They are in the present or perfect tense. And that means an action happens and keeps on happening. What Jesus invites his followers to do is to pray for discernment in a way that starts and doesn't stop. Jesus is saying, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. He wants us to just approach him in that way. And as you do this, you are positioning yourself to receive a response, right? Young kids do this all the time, and they keep doing it until they get an answer, don't they? Why? 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 You know, they'll be asking you constantly on questions, and they'll keep it up till they'll get an answer. And sometimes with God, that answer may be yes, and sometimes it may be no. And then it may be, well, not now. And then sometimes that response just might blow your mind, okay? I mean, I personally never thought that in a million years that God would actually call me to help start this church here in Oshkosh. But he did, you know? And sometimes we just got to be continually seeking where God is wanting to lead you, whether it be in all sorts of different areas of your life. And don't be surprised when he does lead you in a direction that you never imagined. But regardless, Jesus invites us to do more than just the in-the-moment prayer, okay? He wants us to be intentional, to be engaging, and in a process of understanding and of receiving and of discernment. So he wants us to do all these things. Jesus is talking about stepping closer into the desired relationship with God the Father that he created people to have and enjoy. When we seek God and communicate with him, He will respond. God wants us to talk to Him. So that's the second point. The third point is this, and I'll be up there hopefully. God wants us to cast our cares on Him. And notice what Peter says about this in his first letter. It says in Peter 5, 6 or 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." So cast your cares on Him. Of all the disciples, Peter had experienced the anxiety of letting Jesus down, didn't he? When he denied not even knowing Jesus on the night of Jesus' betrayal. I mean, imagine the weight of the anxiety that he felt, the regret. He also experienced, in the contrary, the deep forgiveness and love of Christ when he had breakfast on the Galilee shores after a long night of fishing. So Jesus restored and conveyed a deep and healing love towards Peter that would launch Peter into a new chapter in his ministry. I mean, Peter was called the rock, the foundation on which Christ built his church. And if Peter can trust the love of God that Jesus modeled, so can we. The love of God that He has for us is strong enough for our failures and fears, as well as our curiosities, so that we can come to God in prayer and communicate with Him. As the angel articulated to those shepherds, Jesus is the Savior who was born for all people. Not just some, but for all. And that includes those of us who would let Him down and cause Him pain through our choices. We can always come back. And we can always come back with repentant hearts, and we can reconnect with God because He first loved us, and He always will. And so God, he wants us to cast our cares on Him. That was the third point. And the fourth point we're going to look at is that God wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to draw near to Him. Drawing near is a step of trust, isn't it? I mean, if we were to approach somebody and want a relationship, that's a big step, and it's a big step of trust, isn't it? I mean, you might face rejection, you might face, you know, embarrassment, whatever it might be. But God doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to hear from Him, and He wants us to come nearer to Him in our relationship to Him. He wants that intimacy, that relationship with Him. And stepping closer to God is what Jesus' brother James invites people to do in his letter also. If we look at James 4:8, it says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." So it's that first step. It's that drawing near to God in our lives. When we are burdened with fears, anxieties, you know, probably like the ones Mary had, He wants to hear from us regarding those things, regarding our anxieties. He wants to hear from us and wants us to bring our fears to Him because He cares for us deeply and He loves us. And remember, He loved us first, okay? Now we get the opportunity to love God back by sharing our fears, curiosity, and anxiety in our lives. Of course, He just doesn't want us to draw near when things are challenging, but He also wants us to draw near to Him at all times. And as we do, we'll likely discover what Psalm 73:8 says, that it is good for us to draw near to God, as we looked at. So that was the fourth thing. So those three things are the main points that we want to focus on. But here's a key idea. The key idea is this, is that the wonder of Christmas is the wonder of his love, okay? God made the first move because he loves us. He really does. He won't force the issue, but he wants us to love him back. He invites us to talk with him, to cast our cares on him, and to draw near to him. So what would it look like for you to be open and present your heart and your life to Jesus in that profound and vulnerable way this Christmas? What if you made time today to pour out your heart to the Lord and share with him all that is on your mind? I mean, what would that look like? What if you gave over to Jesus in a time of undistracted and intentional prayer all the places that are hurting in your soul and the questions that are circling in your mind? And, you know, the fears in our life that paralyze us and paralyze our progress, and the hopes and dreams that you'd like to see and experience and be fulfilled. What if you either spoke those words out loud to the Lord in a verbal prayer, or at least made the intention of writing those down in the form of deliberate communication? Sometimes you just need to do that. Sometimes you just need to take a step, write it down, and then, you know, communicate those things to God. If you did something like that today, you would be taking a rational and relational step toward the God who loved you first. You would be drawing near to God with such vulnerabilities that, based on what we read from James 4:8, God would be responding by drawing near to you. I remember when I was dating Pam, you know, the time we spent just talking, sharing, being vulnerable. You know, those times were so precious. We shared our hopes, our dreams, and most importantly, our love for one another. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be in that position, to be vulnerable, to share openly what it is that concerns us, what it is that is bothering us. He just wants us to be in communication with him on those things. So take a chance this Christmas. Take a chance and move towards the God who moved heaven and earth to come near to us in the person of Jesus. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to hear from you, and he wants to bless you. He wants to love you in a way that changes your life from the inside out. Aren't you curious about what that might look like? And what kind of engagement and interaction with that kind of a loving Savior could ultimately mean for your life? The wonder of Christmas and the wonder of his love is waiting for you this season. Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. Because of your love, we have hope. We have joy. We have peace. We have patience, kindness, gentleness. We have all those things can be found in you, Father. And then only we reach out to you and have that relationship with you. If only we cultivate that relationship with you, that we'll truly find out how much you love us, Father. And you are intimately concerned with each and every one of our lives. This holiday season, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to focus on that. Help us to focus on your incredible love towards us and what you did by sending Christ for each and every one of us. And may we just draw nearer to you, Father. May we draw nearer this holiday season and draw closer to one another through that, Father. We thank you so much for all you did for us. We thank you for that incredible love. In your name we pray. Amen.
for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.